Welcome, everybody, to episode 112 of Cloud 259. It's February 13th. This is Bren Jones. I'm honored to be here with my co-host, Siobhan Kreiss. Siobhan, how are you doing?
Good evening, Bren. How are you? I'm doing pretty good myself.
I'm doing all right. And Siobhan, in one episode, you've gone from being the featured guest to a co-host. Next time, you're running the website. We're putting you in charge of the whole thing. So, Milrose, tell me, what were your impressions having never been in that building before?
It was amazing. It was amazing. I didn't know what to expect because I'm going to... I was a true newbie. You know, I have friends who, you know, have kids, you know, compete there, you know, high school athletes, never done that myself. So literally I was totally new to the game, and it was awe-inspiring. It was, there's a tangible buzz about the whole place. And mm-hmm. The thing that I noticed more than anything else was there was no lull. So, like, we arrived, whatever, kind of mid-afternoon, so the proceedings were for sure underway, but when the entire time we were there, there was no kind of quiet where kind of the crowd died down or people were waiting for the next thing. It was just at a high level the whole time, so it was really, really got the adrenaline pumping, even as a spectator.
That's a great point. There is no lull. It's organized chaos, and it's fast-moving. You know, the races are going one after mm-hmm. another. And, you know, we got there after a little bit of a parking adventure and shortly before.
A little bit of a
wave snap. Yeah, shortly before 4 o'clock. So we were just there for the sort of concentrated, you know, televised window with a lot of pro races going off. But the races started around 11 a.m. And you know, it's a full day of that. And in a lot of the earlier races, you got more kids and high schoolers and some masters runners. So it's a lot of adrenaline spent over many hours, for sure. What did you think of the track?
Yeah, again, amazing. I have not seen a track like that before, and it was something new to me. The only track I've seen like that before is literally a velodrome track for cyclists. You know, but what to me is like an Olympic kind of level venue, and oh my God, this is fun. So I can see, you know, what an advantage it is also for the kids who get to train there, the kids who are, you know, kind of in the New York metro area, and they get to go there, you know, once a week to do their training versus, you know, kind of the kids who are, you know, training on a regular track outdoors or, you know, whatever. Without the kind of the steep banking, it was really pretty cool. Really pretty cool. Plus, also the size of it as well. It's so tight. It's so compact.
Right.
Was what struck me as well. These people are spinning past you, you know, and they're leaning. There's a lean.
Turning to the races, you said that you felt shivers when you saw the Laura Muir win that women's mile. Was that the highlight for you in watching the races, or were there other? Did anything top that?
That, you know what, that was a highlight. And again, it sounds kind of cliche, but literally I had goosebumps, you know, in the kind of the final stages of that race where you could see, I mean, it has gone past like digging deep, and you can see the determination mm-hmm. on this woman's face. Mm-hmm. And the face says, I am not going to lose.
Right.
You know, just like an utter refusal, I am not going to lose. And so, you know, everybody's going absolutely nuts. I cannot take my eyes off this woman storming through. And it was maybe not quite the same, but for the men's mile as well, you know, that's kind of similar level, you know, because it's the you know, denouement of the whole day. So everybody's, you know, waiting there for that to occur. So I guess their energy levels are at the you know, absolute kind of tip top of the day, and you can't help but, you know, kind of all your senses are absolutely on fire just watching, you know, what is an epic achievement right in front of your eyes and almost within touching distance.
And I wrote a little piece on our website about in the 1980s, there was a company called Alcoa. And at the end of the 2-minute warning of all the football games, they'd have something called Fantastic Finishes, and they'd have a little highlight reel. And it was exciting just to get to the 2-minute warning to see what highlight they were going to show of what game. Because when you have an epic finish to a game, it's so satisfying. And it was interesting, you know, watching the Super Bowl over the weekend where the end was such a fizzle after such a good game, the end was a fizzle. And it made me think about just Milrose and the races, because A, you know, what you said about the action is so fast moving, you know, one race after another. And in each of these races, it seemed like in every single one of them that we witnessed, the end was thrilling. And
Yes.
I think there are a few different ways to break it down. So one is if you've got a pack of runners and one is breaking away from the others, you know, or if one is coming back and passing the others, or as it turned out in the women's 3000, there's a runner who is running toward a time to break a record.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
in all of these cases, you have sort of the buildup of energy during the race, and then this explosion of energy in that last lap or even last two laps, where it is almost like seeing, it's like with Nagus and with Laura Muir, it was as if they were literally taking flight. And so, you know, you mentioned the determination on the face, and that certainly I saw that. And I also see it's almost like they're spreading their wings. Like, you know, they get a little taller in their stride and they're powering through. And essentially their bodies can only do that because, well, A, they're incredible, incredible athletes who've trained many more hours than, you know, we ever will in our recreational running. But also that they're in the race, that they're in this situation, they're put in this position that on their own they could not accomplish. But because there are all these fans, because they're under the spotlight, there's the pressure, there's the adrenaline of the race, they can accomplish things that otherwise people can't.
It's kind of otherworldly actually looking at them, and more so looking at photographs afterwards, because I think I mentioned to you I may or may not have taken more than 600 photographs while I was there in 2 hours. And looking through them all, many of them are low quality, but the common thread running through most of them was, in all these photos, the feet are not touching the ground. The feet touching the ground is like a rare thing. They're literally on air most of the time. They are propelling themselves forward, you know, with this kind of incredible amount of energy, and it's, yeah. I mean, elite doesn't even cover it.
That's a fantastic insight. That's so true. And to step back a little bit before we do a little bit more digging into the races themselves, I just want to talk a bit about covering this. I mean, it's an interesting event to cover, and maybe sharing what it's like will help some other amateur podcasters out there. But essentially, Siobhan, you took 600 pictures. I took 230, I think. So of those 830, I think we got about 8 to 10 that are worth showing. So
Lessons all around, Bren. Lessons all around.
getting a good photo of a person running quickly on an indoor track. I mean, if you're a pro photographer and you know what you're doing, I'm sure, and with a big camera, or even without, I'm sure it's not too difficult. But for a few people who are fumbling around with a true amateur's camera trying to figure out the settings. But anyhow, this year we got credentials to get there, but I didn't. There were sort of tiered credentials this year, and I didn't have the permissions to actually go to the area where the athletes are interviewed. So I'll have to, I don't know, pay off some people next year to get back there. However, it changed the game a little bit. And for me, first of all, I have so much respect for the photographers who've done this over the years, and for, Andy Kiss has taken pictures for us over the years, and his pictures have been phenomenal. But it's tough. It's tough to get the good shot, and in part because, we found a good spot on the rail to take pictures from, but I didn't want every single picture that we took to be from that same spot. So, you're trying to run around, find the right angles. There's always something in front of you. Is the lens long enough to capture the image from afar? But then the other tough thing is trying to multitask. The trick of watching the race, sort of absorbing what's happening so that you've got something to say about it, and trying to take pictures, which is a completely different thing because you're just trying to get the right angle to get them as they're coming around. And then also for those who do go in and get the interviews, like that's tricky because the races are so close together that if you are interviewing an athlete, you're likely missing the next event. So it is best done as a team. Hopefully you know, we can get you back next year, Siobhan, and we can continue to figure this out. But it was a blast, and it was really a privilege to be let in that building to get those ringside seats.
It does feel ringside. It does feel ringside because you're on top of the track. So I don't know if you noticed this, but before, was it the women's 300? Was it 600? And on the outer lane, there is a lady, you know, with a flag in her, you know, so everybody's, you know, in their kind of suited and booted in their black jackets and white shirt. And she's on that outer lane with her flag, waving people to get their arms back because their arms are overhanging the rail and they are on the track. So
yeah.
She's clearing the deck so people have a space to run. You're literally on the track. It's kind of ringside, yes.
I'm glad she's there, and I gotta confess that I almost lost the camera on the first race because I did not see the person coming in the outside lane. Anyhow, that would have been an embarrassing moment on national TV. We were talking briefly before the show. You had some great questions about some of these events, like where was Athing Mo? Where was the winner from last year? Purrier St. Pierre. So Elle Purrier, the defending champion in the Wanamaker Mile, she is pregnant and due in March, I think. So she was not defending her championship. But in that race, in that Wanamaker Mile, we did have Laura Muir, a Scottish runner who was a silver medalist in the Tokyo Olympics in 2021. It was the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. It actually took place in 2021. Muir was passed actually by two runners with 400 meters to go, and then she came back. And on that last lap, it was Josette Andrews who she was able to pass down the backstretch to get the win. And just in racing generally, if you're running a 1500 or a mile and you get passed on an outdoor track by two runners at the bell lap, like I don't know how many runners come back from that. It's highly unusual. So that was a real thrill. Siobhan, mm-hmm. I'm gonna pick on your great British background here to give me a bit of insight. I was reading up on Laura Muir. She was born in Inverness. Are there some superpowers for people who are born in Inverness? Have you been to Inverness?
You know what? I don't know. It's so funny because there's so many decent, very, very decent kind of Scottish runners at the moment. They've got a really great crop. So, God, I don't know what they're feeding them north of Hadrian's Wall. Maybe nothing. but there's, they're amazing. Amazing. It's there's just a great crop at the moment.
And Josh Kerr, you know, the other Olympic mm-hmm. bronze medalist who won the men's 3000 in a race that was also pretty awesome in that he was the, he was a miler. He was second place last year. He's a miler, 1500 meter runner, went up in distance to do this 3000. And I don't think people necessarily expected Kerr to win because, I think the knock on him last year was that people weren't certain that he was in top fitness either. Like he seems like a swing for the fences kind of guy in the really big meets, but he brought it. And when he was lingering with a few laps to go, you know, when he took the lead, you know, he wasn't going to relinquish it. And he, you know, we've interviewed him in past years. I think that he's brash. I find him to be quite refreshing, very confident. Mm. You know, he brought it. It was impressive. And I think he tactically made the right move, maybe, in not running the mile, given the kind of performance that Neguse put out there. I don't know that anyone would have caught Neguse on Saturday.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think was Josh good? Was he the only one who did a victory lap, or did somebody else do a victory lap? Because I know that he was looking pretty elated as he should be straight after that race with his bunch of flowers and the finishing tape. He was looking pretty high.
You know, he's the only one I saw I did do a victory lap, and I actually only saw it because he got pictures of it. So
I'll be looking for commission on those.
That's a good capture. Yeah. And I like how he was wearing sunglasses too. It's fun when
these... I respect that.
Yeah,
I respect that.
Let's see. You asked also about Mo in the 600. So there was a social media post where she announced that she wasn't running it and was going to focus on the outdoor season. it was a disappointment that she wasn't in it. You know, Ajay Wilson hasn't lost at Millrose since 2013, and then she was only 18 years old. Ajay Wilson is just a legend at this meet, but, you know, that was going to be a marquee race. As it turned out, Shamir Little brought it early in that race, and the way that Ajay Wilson sort of reeled her in patiently was just vintage Ajay Wilson. But yeah, it was disappointing. And another no-show at this meet was Cole Hawker, who would have been in the mile. And Cole Hawker has beaten Nagus in the mile before and had some epic kicks over the past few years. But he posted on his social media that I believe he had an Achilles flare. So sometimes it's injury. Sometimes you're not sure what the exact reason is for the no-shows. This isn't so unusual at Millrose. You know, you'll get these marquee matchups that don't happen at the very end. And then sometimes you get people who are added at the very end who make certain races more interesting. So
I would say, though, that the women's 600 for sure did not lack excitement. I mean,
right. It
was no, you know, kind of let down as an event. And I've got to tell you that that was my favorite race of the afternoon.
Is that right? Tell me why.
Yeah, yeah. It was jaw-dropping. It was jaw-dropping because, you know, not knowing so much about these individual athletes kind of beforehand. And when Ajay Wilson took off towards the end, I don't know if I mentioned this, I've got a midlife crisis Italian sports car, and she just reminded me of that, like, and now, like, I'm not a muscle car. No, I don't make a big noise, I don't make a fuss, I don't rev up, I'm just gonna go at a different speed now. And
wow.
Then that was it, she was done. So I was like, that's just so smooth, understated, just elegant, and off. It was magical. I thought she was amazing.
That's a wonderful way to put it. That is really what she does. I'm just going to go at a different speed now.
Yeah. It was breathtaking.
I think one thing that gets me about her is she's so calm.
Yeah.
And in the, you know, you see that in the interviews too. When I've had the good fortune to interview her in the past, she's just very chill. Very much herself. Very not really out to please other people, I don't think. Just there to win. And she's a killer on the track. She just doesn't lose. Siobhan, I noticed you were taking notes there at the meet. Was there anything from your notepad that we haven't gotten to?
With my pencil and paper. No, I was, do you know what? As well as writing, I was just doing a lot of listening because it is so noisy, and you can, you know, learn a lot from who people are shouting for and and who people are actually literally screaming for in the case of the disqualification of Noah Lyles that was causing much wailing and gnashing of teeth among the high school girls who I was standing next to. They were
right. Right.
That he was disqualified from that race. But also the Alabama coach was on the rails. He was shouting for Mercy Chilanga. Screaming is not the right word, but like vociferously kind of shouting so she could hear him to stay in touch with the lead runners. And I was just thinking, this woman is probably one of the top college athletes in the country, and yet somehow she's in eighth. And just my heart went out to her that she was staying in touch when she's really, you know, an extraordinarily gifted kind of human being. But, you know, she was not at the front, but it was,
right.
You know, he was saying all the right things to you know, kind of encourage her and kind of keep her in. It was stay in touch. That's what I'm going to try and do next time I run. Stay in touch.
Did you think of Millrose at all? I mean, the next day is a very different race. We were both in the Fairfield 20K, which was as far from a 200-meter track as you can get.
Yeah.
But do you think that there are less? I mean,
it's nice.
That's nice that you heard something that you could actually apply to your races.
Yeah, because it was you can, right? You can. I mean, you can apply that to to anything. Just, you know, it's kind of one step beyond hang in there, right? Stay in touch, stay in touch. So I was trying to stay in touch on Sunday with this guy in orange who was 500 yards ahead. So, yeah, it was good.
Siobhan, I want to thank you one more time for coming along for the ride, and your insights are really fantastic. Do you have any last thoughts on Milrose, on Wanamaker, Miles, on the athletes, on the event itself?
No, I'm just really looking for a repeat invitation. If you, you know, if you
Done.
Get a professional camera person to come next year, you know, I'll whatever, step back, but otherwise, you know, I'm there because it was an extraordinary human spectacle.
Done. That is the easiest done I've ever given.
Thank you. You're on.
Try to crash this party again. We'll keep doing it. So for Siobhan Kreis, it's Brent Jones saying thank you again. See you next time, pretty soon, I promise, on Cloud 259.